Hi, folks. We're not quite at the hour yet, but why don't we wait about, I don't know, a couple minutes, have folks trickle in. Hopefully we'll get a good crowd for our Mark Authorities discussion. Hey, Autumn, do you remember who took notes last time by any chance?
It was Yael, right? And I said I would do it today.
Oh, awesome. I'm glad you remembered that. Obviously, I didn't.
I should have kept quiet.
No, that's all right. Sometimes, it for me it takes a village and like 2 dozen notepads. But mostly the notepads.
I don't know about you, but I have like random sticky notes floating around my desk that I wrote. That at the time made perfect sense as reminders to me, but I cannot decode them later.
I do the same thing, and like I'm like, oh, I must keep this. It's very, very important.
I know.
And then like, I had one. It was like a couple years later. I'm like, wait, what is this?
I know.
I guess there you go for the importance of the
Right. Yeah, I guess if it never came up again, it was probably fine.
right? Oh my gosh, yeah. Oh. Wow, we are getting I think this might be our largest data import to date. So we still have some folks trickling in here. Just let them trickle in. Wow. Well, looks like we've kind of hit trickle capacity. So why don't we get started? Well, wow, we have a great group here. Welcome. Yeah, I know this is amazing. Welcome everyone to the Data Import SIG meeting. So before we go into our topic of the day, I just want to do any announcements. I didn't put it here, but the early bird registration for WolfCon 2025, which will be in Kansas City, September 23rd through 25th, right? 23rd, 4th. Yeah, I should know this, right? Through the 25th. Is on sale. So I'll drop that in chat later on. So if you haven't registered, there's in-person and virtual registrations that you can take care of that you can go for. And it sounds like a very exciting schedule. So yay. Hope people come. Other announcements. Does anyone have any announcements that they would like to share with the group?
Jennifer, I did go. I was finally, I had a little issue with my test tenant. It took me a few days, but I was able to replicate the error that we talked about last time, where if two OCLC numbers are in the 035 and you run an import job, did create that second 035 with a portion of the instance number in my record.
Oh, that is fabulous. Maybe there's probably not a ticket for it, right? So that would be a bug.
Okay.
Ryan, did you want Autumn to fill that out, or should Autumn contact you with more information?
Yeah, Autumn, why don't you ping me over Slack? I do believe we have a ticket from the initial report. So rather than get a duplicate in there, let's just connect on the side and we can sort that out.
Sounds good. I will do that.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
All right, thank you. Yeah, that is really good. Wow, amazed you were able to find that. And I also just wanted to say that there is a Linked Data and Folio pre-conference for WolfCon as well. All righty, any other announcements that someone would like to share with the group? All right, so without further ado, and let me share the spreadsheet. Today, our topic is MARC authorities with a particular focus on, doing this in batch, whether that's batch making the connections in between MARC authorities and inventory, or sending your files out and then batch updating them in Folio inventory, and or maybe batch uploading authority files. So very exciting. And I want to thank our volunteers who are going to lead the discussion today: Jeanette Kahalchik, Kali Matthews, Alyssa Heff. And just if I pronounce your name wrong, I'm so sorry. Just jump in and say no, it's pronounced like this.
It's
Hafela?
Haefely.
Haefely,
And no
okay.
worries. No one gets it right.
Sheila Torres Blank, Mary Company, and Emily Semenoff. So thank you so much. I am going to leave it for you. You should be able to share your screen. You can share your screen or not. I will also make sure that I'm checking chat, and if I see something, I'll let everyone know. Of course, you can always raise your hand. So, woof, I'm excited for today. Look, yay.
We didn't talk prior to an order, but if it's okay, Stanford will kick us off and then we can pass it on to the others. So, not hearing objections, I'm Alyssa Haefely. I am a library systems analyst at Stanford. I've got my colleagues here, Jeanette and Callie. I'm sure most of you know Jeanette. She is the head of our data and e-resources control group, and Callie is our authorities and entity management librarian. So we thought we would just give a little bit of context about where Stanford is with authority work, and then we'll talk a little bit about the things we've found with data import, and then the feedback and staff experience we've had so far with the current authority functionality. So we've been working on getting our authorities into Folio for a little while now. Our aim was really to restart working with our vendor, which we had stopped prior to migration into Folio in 2023. And we wanted to at least be able to restart that process so that we could continue loading bibliographic data updates, like updates to our headings. But we also wanted to try and get authority records into Folio. We were at that same time, we were also going to be coming together with another library at Stanford to do their authority processing, which we hadn't done before. And they were in the midst of a project with the vendor to have some enhancements done to their data. So that was another thing that was motivating our timeline. So our plan was to update our bib records with these enhancements that the vendor supplied and to load the authority records into Folio, but to wait for Folio functionality around automated linking. So at this time, we don't have any current plans to try and link our bibs and authority records at any kind of scale. So we were bringing together multiple libraries, a couple different streams of bib updates. They were about 250,000 records each, and we were looking at how to load about 4+ million authority records. So when we started looking at how we would do this, we were hoping for a couple things. We were hoping to use the same process to load the initial bibs and the initial authority records. We were, I'll be honest, initially hoping to not use data import, but you'll see how that played out and how that changed. And yeah, so when we migrated to Folio, we used EBSCO's migration tools, and we had thought, well, we'll just leverage those. We've used them before. We think we can use them for both bibs and authority records. But after we did some testing, we realized that there were differences in the records that were loaded with the migration tools versus records that we test loaded with data import. And we knew that long term for updates, we wanted to go back to using data import, so we needed those to be in alignment. Also did some testing of the source storage batch endpoint. We found that that did not update the instance records. So that wasn't going to work for us either. And then we were also doing some testing using the change manager endpoint. During that testing period, we had also reached back out to the community, and Brooks Travis at EBSCO suggested a Python-based tool that they had written, I think to replace their migration tools, that used the change manager API approach. So it bypassed some of data imports file management, but it allowed for us to have a lot of control over the process, while at the same time it leveraged data import profiles and logs. So we like looped back around and ended up at data import anyway. So that's what we ended up doing for our authority record loads. And we had already had some functionality in place locally for splitting files and sending them to data import for bib records. So we are using that for the bib updates. So that's like the high level summary of where we are. In the end, we ended up really putting data import through its paces. We have loaded all the bib updates, so about 500,000, and we are in the process of loading the authority records, and that we're at like a little over 1 million of those. So I'm going to stop there. I'll pass it to Jeanette to talk more about data import.
Great. So, as Alyssa was saying, it's such a large number of records that mainly she has been loading them in off hours. So, like on the weekend or later in the day to not cause any issues with staff. We've also found that there are lots of errors in the load. So, we get timeouts and certain records just kind of hang until eventually they error. This could be a local issue, but we don't know if anyone else has been having issues with loading of large records. Also, as we all know, the data import logs are not very great with indicating what the errors are. You have to click to errors and then click into each one to find them. So error handling has been really bad. We've had to sometimes reload certain files, which accidentally caused duplicates. So, also now needing to look into how to do deletes because currently you can only singularly delete records through the UI. So, obviously, you can do it through API, but we now need to look into how to do this functionality as well. We can't just do another batch load of them easily. We also found that some large logs, you can't even open them. So they just kind of hang out. So we've also been having to figure out other ways to find these errors. Throughout this process, we found that there's a difference in functionality of how data import handles information in the authority records. So in the MARC bib records, the 001 and 003 get combined to become an 035, but in the MARC authority records, by design, the 001 and 003 stay the same. So people who are creating field mapping profiles and things like that need to understand the differences between the two kinds of records. And ultimately, what brought up the question to begin with was us trying to figure out update records. So for the field mapping profiles for MARC authority updates, you can only the override protected fields, the same protected fields are in MARC authority records as well as MARC bib records. And you cannot override them in the MARC authority records like you can in the MARC bib records. So we have the 920 field protected for our bib records, but unfortunately, we also have our authority vendor adding a URI for id.loc.gov to the 920 in our authority records. And we don't necessarily want it protected in the authority records, but you cannot override the protections. And so that's mainly our issues with trying to figure out profiles and the current authority information and data import. So Callie will then tell you a little bit more.
Thanks, Jeanette. So the metadata department went through the records as they were being loaded to spot check and just get a sense for how they look and how they would work in our workflows. So I am going to share a document in the chat that tracks some of our findings. This was done in April of this year, and I did try to recreate a few of these issues to make sure they were still issues. So I will be revising this and maybe do another pass before adding to the spreadsheet you shared, Jennifer. But generally, the linking one at a time option is fairly intuitive. Like you click on the link and it opens a search, and the search ideally finds the authority you'd like to link it to. And you see it update. And in simple cases, it's very clear what happens. Catalogers found some issues with the functionality, such as skipping the subfield C in certain cases. And I've tried to include examples here where that happened. And there's some screenshots below if you're curious to see what it looks like. Sometimes the exact phrase heading text string matches multiple headings. And so you have to do a little bit of work using the facets and filters to make sure you're picking the right one. And there were some questions raised about if we're doing automatic linking, how does the system know which heading to choose? What happens if multiple text string matches are found? And there are, I think, quite a number of questions in addition to that one about automated linking processes. One that I found was kind of interesting is the behavior when you link. I had done most of my testing with a 100 and subfield zeros and subfield ones, and the text box behavior. So if you have multiple subfield ones, initially we thought it was removing or hiding one of them, and it turns out it's just appending it to the end. So you really have to know that you need to expand that text box. Also knowing like where a subfield 4 would go versus subfield E, and how the quick mark will move it if you put it in the wrong spot or not. So all these things just take a little getting used to, given there aren't a lot of tool tips or hints within the UI. And in general, I think users had some confusion about what they were actually linking to. So am I linking out to id.loc.gov in any sense, or am I linking to an authority that's been loaded into Folio? And so kind of explaining that and looking at that more closely as a group was helpful for getting oriented. And then in terms of the MARC authority settings, we ran into some issues where you can't add an existing authority or create a new row for an existing authority using different codes. So we're running into this with RBMS. And I found it a little surprising that you couldn't save a configuration without configuring an HRID starts with number. Let's say I wanted to get started on setting up Homosaurus, for example, but we hadn't loaded anything yet. So I can't really do anything or save anything until I have an HRID. So just little things, but would make things a little easier just in the process of setting up and configuring. And in some cases, what that means on the user end is that the authority dropdown will not pick up what authority it is. So you'll see something that says like not specified. And so it's just kind of, you'd have to do a little bit more legwork to see where that term came from and how you might want to use it. At the top of this page, I linked to some documentation that I've been using from Folio documentation site to figure out what's going on with the authority mapping rules, the subfield 0 and subfield 9. And I linked to a draft of some local documentation we're starting that's based on much of what I've read in the Folio documentation. But it's been a learning curve to get accustomed to all the different pages on authorities in Folio and what is most relevant to us and where we can find the answers to our questions. I feel like the detail is really, really rich and super valuable, but oftentimes then it's hard to know exactly where to look for what. But it has been really helpful, especially the mapping rules page. I've been referring to that quite a bit. And that's all I have. Thanks. I'm not sure if the next group is ready or if Alyssa or Jeanette have anything they want to close with from the Stanford side of things.
I don't think I have anything to add. Are there others that were listed that are on the call that want to talk about what their institutions are doing? If not, we can open it up for comments and questions.
Sure. I think Texas, is it Texas A&M? That was doing authority.
Texas State. I can
Oh,
this is
Texas.
Sheila.
Hey,
Yeah,
Sheila.
hey, Texas State. So yeah, we're in the process of loading authorities. We haven't really dipped our toe into linking much. I mean, we've played around with the linking record by record, but we're really waiting for some sort of large scale automated process for doing the record linking. And as for loading records, it's been kind of a process of fits and starts because we migrated on ORCID in 2024 and had great difficulty figuring out how to do our matching since at that point the LCCN and the 010 was being lopped off. And so we have our whole system set up on matching on the 001 and putting the LCCN there. So it would be simpler if we could do it otherwise, but at the moment, we've not been able to come up with a solution. Our hosts were hosted by EBSCO, and they tell us that it should be possible to do a partial match, but so far I can't seem to make it work. I've tried every way since Sunday for that to work, but no. So we're getting along, but we're hoping for. It seems like every time we seem to get things running, then something breaks. And so then we're on hold until we can figure that issue out. So we're kind of a small shop. We don't have a lot of folks that are handy with the APIs. So we're basically limited to what's in the UI. And I know that's not a huge amount of detail, but we're kind of making it work, but I wish it was better at this point.
Thanks. That's really
Sure.
interesting. And I don't know if anyone else is doing it. So the five colleges, we just contacted our vendor. Oh, Autumn, do you want to go first?
No, you go ahead. I can
Oh,
chime in
okay.
after.
So we just reached out to our vendor to get it started again. So we aren't going to use the MARC Authorities app. We're just going to send out our bib records and then, bring those bib records back in. So, with our Ramsense dry run, We did a test of, updating 100,000, 200,000, up to 500,000, which actually went really well. The only bug that we encountered was that we have file splitting, so there's the file splitting, how it chunks, it creates duplicates. Library of Congress found that one. Oopsie. Anyway, I'm sure that will be fixed very soon. Thank you, Library of Congress. But other than that, because I was surprised to hear that Stanford had timeouts, because with even with our 500,000, we did not have any timeouts at all. It just went really, really smooth. The only thing we did see was that, I guess, the single record imports and overlays went through, but the very small files didn't go through, as well as small updates from bulk edit. So those are the updates that do the MARC only updates. So I guess there's a configuration beyond the default configuration to push those smaller files through. But yeah, so I guess it's a toned down MARC authorities. And we would have like 1.5 million bibs to update. Yeah. Autumn.
Okay, I a couple things just to make sure I have them correct for the notes. So, Sheila at Texas State, you are having trouble matching on the 010 when overlaying bibs or authorities.
Okay, this is for authorities, and actually the since we I can't I believe it was Quesnelia, they adjusted the way that the LCC in the authority records was stored. So any records that we have that were loaded Quesnelia or later, I can match on those, but it's the
Oh,
records that were loaded prior to Quesnelia
yes,
that
okay.
have that flaw. And yeah, I mean, it seems like it you should be able to do a partial match, but man, I tried every setting I could find in there, and none of them work. So we're sticking with what we got for now. But if someone solves it, I would sure love to know about it. Our whole
Well,
workflow would be, I think, a more streamlined if we could solve this issue.
I was thinking, and I'm looking at my authorities manager's job profile to make sure, but she has it set up for a match on the 010, and it's been working because she was out on maternity leave and I had to do it for her and
Oh,
didn't.
okay.
Yeah, and it seems to be working successfully. So if you want to get in touch, I can at least
Yeah,
send you
I might
screenshots of
ping you.
that or
Okay.
put you in touch with her.
Super.
Um,
Can
and
I
then, oh, go ahead, go ahead.
sorry, Autumn. Sheila, hey Sheila, this is Kalayla.
Hey.
I've been looking at the issue you have. I think one of the issues, and what's probably different from Autumn's possibly, is that some of your 001s have a slash at the end. And so something, and I don't know, Autumn, if in your 001s if you have a slash, and that probably is why it's working fine. And so it is so one way you could try, what you could try is seeing if adding an asterisk at the end of that 001 value that you search will bring back the results. In the meantime, I did, Christine and I have been looking at a story to address what happens if the 001 has a trailing backslash or a space, because we think that's where the problem lies.
Okay, well, so the matching in the authorities, we don't have a problem with the 001 actually. It's the 010 that we can't get to work. We have been matching on the 001 as an alternative.
Okay, I thought you were saying something about the 001.
Okay, yes, we're using the 001 for matching because the 010 does not work, but I wish we could make the 010 work.
Okay, and
Yeah.
the 001 is not working. Okay, the 001's not working because I think there's something about the way
the 001 in your records are for is formatted.
No, I the 001 has been working at least. So
Oh,
we
010, 010.
yeah, 010. Yes.
Yeah,
So
yeah.
yeah, the records before Quesnelia came in with if there was a trailing space in the LCCN, that trailing space was trimmed.
Yeah, I
That
think
yeah, that
that,
was that's the problem that we
yeah.
could identify.
I think that's the issue is that for some reason that's it's weird because I think like with what Autumn said, it works fine for her, and when we go when we do this with other with other workflows, it works fine. I think it is something we have to kind of look at your records again and then figure
Okay.
out how we what may have changed in the query that we might need to address. We're also doing work to look at folio to mark matching, and I can't remember if you actually that doesn't apply. This is authorities.
Yeah.
Yeah, I keep forgetting. Yeah, I think we have to need to look at your records again because it's I just need to look at them one more time.
Okay, cool. And interested in any insights?
Katie.
Hi, Jennifer. We're considering doing what you're doing, going to our vendor. Since we migrated to Folio back in 2022, we had done absolutely nothing with authorities. And so we suspended our vendor service for bib updates. And so we're going to be thinking about restarting that. But we're at this point, until you can do batch linking, that we're not going to kind of focus on the Mark Authority app and not upload authority files. And so we're thinking we have some of our records updated. And so we're kind of like that transition period when the bibs were not updated and anything new, we're going to go ahead and get those started. And they asked us about including URIs, like in the subfield zero. And I know that is required to do linking in authorities. And we were kind of thinking, okay, let's just not mess with that right now. And then when there's kind of a batch process or for like automatic linking, then just kind of give us our entire collection and have them add URIs to it. But I just was wondering if that's what you did or if our thinking's incorrect.
That's really interesting. So our working group is just going to get started. They're going to start in August, so they're the ones who are going to work on the authorities profile and all of that. And honestly, that's actually good to note down with the zeros, because I didn't. We haven't gotten that far yet. So, but I imagine we'll probably do something similar because, once we are able to be, be in a place where we can update all the linkages like automatically, then we'll probably just take the whole file again and then get that information for that at that time. Yeah.
Thanks.
Lola.
Hi, yeah. So I'm an implementation consultant at EBSCO, and I'm a little bit new to the land of MARC authorities. Haven't really implemented a library that worked with the app much so far, but I'm working with University of Notre Dame right now, and I'm feeling like what I'm hearing is similar to the plan we've developed at Notre Dame, but I would love to bounce this off of you all and make sure I've got my understanding correct that currently, as we're doing their migration, millions of records, there's no batch linking of authorities to bibs, no way to generate those links using data import or migration. I understand that support is in development with the goal for Umbrella Leaf next year. So, with the current functionality of that linking being manual, I think what we've come up with as a feasible plan is to keep running backstage processes during this implementation when Umbrella Leaf comes out in 2026 to do a complete export import to update everything at that time, so that those headings that are behind will probably only be about 6 months behind. Basically, we're waiting for that Umbrella Leaf functionality and kind of ignoring the linking until then. Is that somewhat what I'm hearing from you all as well in terms of future plans?
I'll be honest that I don't think we've really thought too far ahead yet past this first phase or two in terms of whether or not we would have to reload everything. So I can't really say. I don't know if Callie and Jeanette have more insight there, but.
I don't necessarily think we have much more insight. We're all just kind of trying to get through this initial phase, I think, and get things in order.
Yeah, maybe once we have a sense for when we would move to Umbrella Leaf, we could revisit, but I'm not sure what that timeline looks like for us at Stanford. And just having a better sense of the automatic process would be helpful before trying it.
Yeah, we looked into, I guess, the National Library of Australia has built scripts to do this kind of batch linking, but Notre Dame found that it was very specific to their previous Voyager system. And so that probably wasn't going to work for them. So, okay, I just wanted to make sure what we're thinking of is a valid approach.
Lisa.
Yeah, I just so I work and I'm at MSU with Autumn. I'm the one who was on maternity leave for the last 4 months, so I'm just coming back. So I'm kind of a little bit out of sorts. So hopefully this question makes sense. But so for those of you who are planning on using the authority linking features, either like more when they become available as like kind of more of a batch process, have you thought about instances where you have like subdivided headings that wouldn't have a subfield zero that corresponds with the entirety of the heading, and then how you would maintain those? Would you kind of just like not worry about them, or would those still, would you anticipate you'd still be like manually updating those headings? Because that's kind of one of the things that's like a mental block for me, I guess, in like considering whether and how we would implement this like in the future, I guess.
I don't really have anything much to say about that. I know the topic came up early on when we were discussing it because previously we had some processing in place to handle those. But yeah, again, I think we're just not there yet. Oh, Nancy. Nancy, like, no more.
So yeah, in our previous system, we actually had a method that which we called that we did link portions of the string that were referred to with the authority record. That in itself has its own problems. And we were kind of working on a way to mark these as partial matches one way or another at some point, so that when we were, say, converting to BibFrame, we wouldn't use that URI as a as the URI for the whole string. But as Alyssa says, we're way far away from figuring that part out yet. So,
Lisa, just going back to your comment in chat about issues with a partial match. Is that a partial match to the MARC authority record, or partial match to the bib record, or both?
I guess it was like what Nancy was just saying. So like in the bib record, you would have like a 650 field or whatever that has a subfield zero, and the link in that subfield zero only, or not the URI only matches part of the subject heading in that field. Does that make sense?
I will add, though, if you're just using MARC, doing the partial match works generally speaking. And it would update those portions. I mean, I don't know if that would work in Folio, but that's how we did do it in our previous system. I know that, so.
So I had a question. And maybe this is for Kalila. I don't think there is a MARC authorities like working group. Is there a working group for MARC authorities?
There's a quick mark group, and typically, and we haven't the group decided, well, we decided not to meet often. I'd like to say that it's been great hearing the feedback and the experiences that some have had. First of all, Lisa, welcome back from maternity leave, and I remember hearing of her experience at WolfCon, and it's great to hear of what Stanford experienced too. I definitely, as the product, as one of the product owners for Authority, would like to have gotten a lot further with our development. But unfortunately, we had other priorities that were of a higher priority, to be blunt. We hope to start work on this in Umbrella Leaf to support the automatic batching, which I hear loud and clear is really, 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 really important. I can definitely schedule meetings once we have an idea of what we're going to do for that. We can use the MMSIG for that. I don't know necessarily if we need to have a working group for that. I think an MMSIG might be fine for this. I do encourage folks, if you have feedback, please send it like to me directly, post it on the QuickMark channel. I know Jeanette has in the past, because the more, more we hear from you all about, some of the workflows that you guys are going through, the quicker we might be able to address some issues. So don't, so just share it. Just post it, send it to me offline if you're not comfortable, but the more the better, especially when it comes to linking, automatic linking. Because when we do automatic link, we want to make sure we got it right. We do it right, because then your folks aren't going to be happy if we did it wrong. So if you have found that even, that we're controlling things that don't make sense, or you're like, why is it missing? We want to hear that feedback as soon as possible, because once we start the automated process here, we don't want you to have a situation where, oops, sorry, it's not controlling the right thing, and then where you have to figure out how to roll it back. So any feedback anybody can give who's been doing the linking, or even testing out the linking, as I've heard, many of you are probably in the testing phase more than the actual management phase. The sooner we get that, the better, because we do plan to start work on this in Umbrella Leaf as far as automatic batching. One other thing, this might, I don't know if this is a cliffhanger or not that I'm going to say here, but I have actually been thinking of this, and for those who were part of the QuickMark subgroup a long time ago, I presented different ways that we might approach automatic linking. And one approach actually did not include data import. It was essentially a way of setting up a query and then basically having a job that actually looked for those bibs and authorities and did the updates and linking. So one thought, and obviously I have to have developers and architects look at it, is not to use data import, but to actually use that type of mechanism that is solely for the linking part. So that's just while we're here, I'd love to hear you guys' feedback on that. Obviously, like I said, developers may say, no, clearly can't do that. We're going to use data import, but that's kind of what I've been leaning towards. And I see lots of hands up, so I'm going to go back on mute right now.
Callie.
That makes sense to me, Kalila, in terms of an approach. And I was wondering if you had links to any documentation about approaches that have been considered for automatic linking. I might have just missed if that is documented somewhere, but it would be great for me to get the background on the thinking behind it to prepare for any like Umbrella Leaf conversations.
Yeah, like you said, there's a lot of documentation, but it's all over the place. So let me find it because it was a PowerPoint I presented to the QuickMark subgroup a long time ago. So as soon as I find it, I'll post it.
Vivian.
Yeah, I'm super interested in that documentation as well. I have like all kinds of questions about what the workflow would look like with the query approach that you mentioned, and I mean, I posted our situation in chat. We suspended doing centralized authority processing for our consortium just because of the having to manually link record per record. We came up on Poppy. We just upgraded to RHEM since last night. So yeah, I mean, we are definitely interested in whatever approach to batch automatic linking can be developed, because that's really what's keeping us from doing central authority processing for our members.
Tom.
Yeah, I'm at the University of Notre Dame. I'm the one of the people that Lola was talking about earlier. We are coming from Aleph and going into Folio hopefully a year from now. And just to let you know that Aleph does exactly what you were suggesting, which is to have a background process or something that would run always. And so when you load authority records, it takes care of all the linkages, and then they're just there, and we don't have to worry about all the manual stuff or anything like that. So I don't know what the algorithm is behind that, but that would certainly be more ideal than this whole data import export idea.
Thanks. Yeah, that's really interesting. We were on Aleph as well. And it did perform in the background really very well. I think, using data import, I don't think there's parallel processes. It runs one after another, I think. And from what I've seen now with the addition of bulk edit for making changes to the MARC SRS, everything just kind of clogs into that queue, and the performance could be better. So I think, especially with authorities, you're generally talking, a larger loads than probably, bibliographic e-resources, not necessarily, but at least with our vendor loads, we've been talking about, 1.4 or larger for updating all these MARC bibs. And if we get another way to do that rather than data import, that respects everything, we'd definitely be interested in it. But I'm wondering too, because it's not just the data import, but it's also indexing. In Aleph, we would get the big authority file. We had authority MARC authority records as well. We'd load them in, and even with Aleph, it would pretty much take the weekend to get that index kind of all the way updated. So I'm wondering, how are you going to do this in Folio, which is exactly what you're going to do, Kalila, but that's something to watch out for, I guess, as well. My only other comment was, when you have documentation, if you can share that with me, because as co-convener of the data import SIG, I can maybe create a page that kind of acts as a portal to all of that documentation for the folks in this group. Oh, and Kalia, do you happen to have a roadmap of Umbrella Leaf and later for MARC authorities?
On Confluence, there is a real there's an outdated roadmap, I think, from a long time ago around authorities, and so I wouldn't hold me to that one if you find it. But Christine and I are working on a roadmap for authorities for Umbrella Leaf and if you hear me say Christine Schultz Richard, we're working on what we're planning to do for Umbrella Leaf and Vetch. For Umbrella Leaf, the plan is to do the work that we're talking about for Batch, and we know that's going to be pretty extensive. The other work that we plan to do is to make refinements to the authority files. I think Callie, you mentioned, some challenges you had with the authority files. So again, any feedback you have on that'd be helpful. So we do plan to make some changes on that, as well as how you can decide on what actually populates the subfield zero. So that work that I've with authority files and what you actually populate in subfield zero is also closely tied to the work that's planned by the linked data development team, because they need the work that we're doing as well, and we need to be aligned. So it ties into what their efforts as well. So that's the big plan for Umbrella Leaf, and then still thinking through what will be a part of Vetch. My guess is there'll probably be some carryover work with the batch development. That's my guess.
Well, that's all really exciting. So, does anyone have any other questions or thoughts that they would like to share with the group? And of course, there's the data import lab. If you want to show off, like demos of stuff, that's on Thursday from 3 to 4 Eastern Standard Time. And information is on our Data Import SIG wiki page. Autumn. Did you want to say something, Autumn?
Yes, sorry. The obligatory weekly forget to unmute. I tried to get as many details in the notes as possible, but if you shared some input or were one of the presenters, if you could double check what I've got there and make any additions that seem appropriate to you, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
And thank you for taking notes. And definitely, if you have, sorry, a moment, fill out this spreadsheet that Kalila is looking at, and kind of what works well now, or what you think might work well, your top priority, what new feature you'd like to be developed, and any comments. This will help Kalila and the development team to really make sure we get features that work for us as a community. And I also included a link to Stanford's testing notes because I thought those were just those were amazing. Thank you for sharing those. That was just really, really great. So any last words? Yeah, and thank you to our volunteers, Callie, Alyssa, Jeanette, Emily, and hopefully I didn't
Gila.
and Gayla, thank you. Yeah, thank you for volunteering. Thank you for sharing all of the information that you have and your experience. It's been really, really helpful. I just want to check with Kalila. Do you have information that you need or that you were hopefully getting, hopefully more than you were expecting out of this discussion?
Well, first, thanks everybody for taking time to present and be here and give feedback. So yeah, this is great. Callie's document alone is awesome, and now I see folks are adding details to the chat. Also, I think the group's made very loud and clear that they want automatic batching now, right now, so that I mean, obviously, we had an idea of that. We know it's important, and now we know that what we're now have the capacity and priority to do an umbrella leaf, we can do. We'll use the MMSIG to, to ask for feedback, and when necessary, when it makes sense, hopefully we can, leverage the data import subgroup, not subgroup, I'm sorry, SIG, keep forgetting. For feedback on this as well. So yeah, thank you. Thank you. And just keep the feedback coming. And like I said, I'm being repetitive, but I'm gonna be repetitive because I really appreciate the feedback. But feel free to send it directly to me or to Christine or through the QuickMark, channel. The more feedback we get, the better. We might not be able to act on it as quickly as we would like, but we do look at it and review it. So thanks again.
Yeah, thank you, Kalila. And I think as more people, start, maybe with the scale down, just updating bib records that they get, enhanced from the vendor, we'll probably have more to share with you on that as well. So again, thank you. And now I have the list in front of me. Jeanette, Callie, Alyssa, Sheila, Mary, and Emily. There you go. I didn't forget anyone. Thank you so much for everything you've shared. Thank you, everyone who showed up to this awesome discussion. We will revisit. So maybe not immediately, but just I will post to all the Slack channels that I know of because I know we're all in different groups. So I hope everyone has an excellent rest of their day and catch you in the next meeting. Bye, all.
Thank you.
Thanks all.